Tonight, once again, it's Mr. Barry McGuire from the Ritchie Mill Law Office. He has been doing real estate since before I was born, and I'm 72. And the number of deals that he gets to see every single month, that's why I like to rely on Barry, because he gets to see hundreds of deals a month that pass through and fall, and some of them are great deals, easy, some of them not so great. And he comes and shares some of the landmines we got to watch out for. So uncross your arms, get your blank piece of paper, and give a huge welcome to, from Edmonton, Alberta, Mr. Barry McGuire.
Thank you, Don. Thank you. So let's get started. The first tale from the trench tonight is called "He Just Couldn't Do It." He just couldn't do it. One of our members found a condominium. There was an older bachelor in there. He was a bad housekeeper. He was moving. He was sick. He needed to go. Our members bought and paid cash. And their plan is to buy it and fix it up and then refinance it and put a decent mortgage on. And they thought they had a good chunk of room to do that, which was a good plan. So while the negotiations are going on, our member says to the owner, "Now, you got a lot of stuff in here, and closing is coming up pretty soon. Are you going to be able to get out? Who's going to help you?" "Don't worry," says the owner, "I'll be fine." That's what we guys do, right? Am I lost here? No, I'm not asking. I'm not going to look at the map. No. So the owner just didn't want any help, and our member asked a couple of times, and we got close to the closing day. And he called me up and he said, "You know, he hasn't done a thing. I've been over there kind of working with him. He hasn't done a thing." So we phoned the other lawyer and we got an extension to the closing date for another week. And then we closed because our member didn't phone me up and tell me that as we got to the closing day, the owner still hadn't done anything, done nothing. Anyway, so on the weekend that it was all supposed to happen, our member got a friend, got a half ton, and they went over there and they just said, "Listen, we're moving you." So they helped them to move. But the point of all this is that if you see something that isn't right and you ask a question and you get an answer and it still doesn't feel right, then you know you have to do something about it. This worked out okay for our member. In fact, we even got the seller to pay a couple $100 to the helper guy that our member hired, which they didn't have to do and they could have told us to, but they did. So, if you see something developing, and somebody says, "Oh, don't worry," you know, you cannot worry at your peril. Our member could have had tenants lined up. There could have been a whole bunch of other situations. So, if you see it showing up, try and negotiate something. Remember, you have to do it before your lawyer uses the paperwork, because once a buyer's lawyer uses a seller's lawyer's paperwork, if I've done that and used and it's on its way to the land titles office and then you phone me and say, "Gee, I've got this problem and that problem," I have to say, you know, I can ask, but I'm obligated to pay all the money. So identify it early and try and negotiate something that takes care of this problem. Another one that comes to mind in this area is the work completion schedule, which is found in critical forms. I think that was developed courtesy of Veldon Palm, where he's got a really nice schedule developed, and you can tick, tick, tick the things that you want your seller to do, and you can say what a holdback will be. That's a really easy way to negotiate most of the things that you run into. So that comes under that category of things. He just couldn't do it, and he didn't. Next, simultaneous closings. This is an update to a tale we did last month. Remember, we talked about simultaneous closings as not being illegal. There's just so many people that think to find a great property over here, somebody owns it, they're prepared to sell it to you at a good price, say they're selling it to you for $100,000, and you've got an ultimate buyer over here who will pay you $125,000. And this $125,000 is fair market value. It's appraised fair market value all day. The owner over here wants out fast, he's motivated, who knows what the reason is that you're able to buy it at a really good deal, but those deals come up. So to be able to buy at 100 and sell at 125 and do that as a simultaneous closing, it all happens on one date, is not illegal. The hard part is getting it done. Hard part is getting it done, and one of the reasons it's getting harder to do it is because the ultimate buyer who's going to pay $125,000 needs a mortgage. They got to get a mortgage to buy it. And, you know, I don't know that there are any real published rules for lenders when they run into this situation, but there's lots of lenders who just don't like to do that. You know what happens if you find that property and you want to buy it, forget about your ultimate buyer, you find it at 100, it's worth 125, and you want to go and get a mortgage for 125. It's just you. You know what they say. We'll finance you on the lower of the purchase price or the appraised value. And always in that case, where the appraised value is 125 and your purchase price is 100, they'll only give you a mortgage based on 100. So maybe it comes out of that, I don't know. Now going back to our tale from last month, you'll recall that our member had done a couple of these and had no trouble with them, which makes one calm, I think. The ultimate buyer's lawyer had a mortgage with Resmore Trust. And Resmore wanted the lawyer, as part of the workup to the deal, to get a title search to the property. And Resmore wanted to look at the title search. And when they looked at the title search, they found that the seller to the ultimate buyer wasn't on title. Remember, the seller in the middle is our member. It was some person they didn't know about, the current owner. So there was lots of negotiating back and forth, and it was all established that the ultimate value was where it was supposed to be, proper appraisals done, and Resmore said, well, fine, we actually want this title to go into the member's name. And if that happens, we will fund the new mortgage and this will all work. I have no idea why they wanted it to go into our member's name. What does it matter? Surely the issue is that the value is there and there's an appraisal to support that. However, that's what they wanted. This took some negotiating with the current owner, because guess what? When Resmore found out about that it was a simultaneous closing, everything just stopped, and the closing date was coming and going. So our member had to negotiate with the current owner to say, you know, I've got this trouble, I can't close, I am going to close, what are we going to do here? And we had to pay an interest penalty, which was actually quite reasonable in the circumstances. And that's something else you have to remember, is that sellers don't have to give you extensions. So be careful. You can't always get an extension when you want to. In the end, the title's all registered, firstly into our member's name, secondly into the ultimate buyer's name. It all went back to the ultimate buyer's lawyer. They reported to Resmore, and Resmore said, oh, didn't we tell you? Some of that condominium stuff you sent us, we're not real happy with that. We need something different. Back to the seller's lawyer for another bit of negotiating and another extension. And now they were really unhappy. However, they gave us one more extension. So in the end, that deal closed. But I think things that you have to know about, and we've gone over this with Dan Heon and Randy Jameson and Peter Kinch, we've asked them and chatted with them about why don't lenders want to do these deals? And the answer that we get is, and it's kind of a common answer amongst lenders, maybe they get together at lenders' conventions and figure out what they're going to say to people. What they say is that they don't want to finance our members' profit. They don't want to finance our members' profit, which is kind of a dog-in-the-manger attitude, but nevertheless, they have the money, and you know the old rule, the person who has the money makes the rules.